A reading from Luke chapter 4. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Untying it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight from the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Well, if you've ever joined a United Methodist Church, or maybe you brought your children for baptism. But in the United Methodist hymnal, there is a liturgy that you go through. And part of that liturgy is that you are asked particular questions in regards to your faith. One of those questions, and probably the most important one, is, do you confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And in the old days, my old hymnal says, "and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom." That, of course, is very important if you're going to bring children up in the faith, that you believe yourself. But there are other questions that are asked, and one of those questions is, do you accept the freedom God gives you to resist evil, injustice, or oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And I want us to think about that question tonight, that, you know, we certainly have in our minds different forms of oppression and injustice that are happening right now. And the first, when I was reading this scripture, the first thought that came to mind, of course, in the last couple of weeks was the hostage situation in Israel and Gaza. And over 200 people, even though they've released a couple of hostages here and there, over 200 people are still kept hostage. And I don't know if you've ever had felt like you were a hostage somewhere, but that's got to be one of the most difficult feelings that anyone could have, that they were oppressed, that they were just, you know, against their will. They were placed in, and I don't know where they're at, they're in tunnels or whatever, we don't know what condition they are, but that feeling of being a hostage, you know, where you are kept against your will, it has to be terrible. But there's also those Palestinians that may not be, for Hamas, or they're just in the middle of all this mess, and I would suspect that fear is holding them hostage. And it says in the news that some, they don't want to leave their homes because they're afraid that even if they leave their homes, that they don't know where to go. And so they're displaced. And that's another way of saying, I feel like a hostage in that sense. And so, you know, that's one form of, you know, that oppression and that injustice that's taking place as we see the news over and over and over again. But think about our family situations. And there are families that are having a difficult time. There are families where sometimes people who act out, whether it might be substance abuse or whatever, but in those kind of families, the person who has the substance problem, the chemical addiction, often holds the rest of the family hostage. And I experienced this firsthand when I was in seminary. I took a class in chemical addiction, and One time we did this mock trial where, and I was picked to be the counselor, and some of my colleagues played the different parts of this alcoholic family, and you know, I sat down, and the rest of them were sitting right here, and you know, one of my colleagues would act out as the child, and sometimes this is the case, the child who laughs all the time and uses humor to lighten things up, even though it's a, you know, it's a terrible situation. And there's another child that's the perfect child that just, you know, is out there being a perfect person. And there's another child that's the angry child. And then there's the child that's the substance abuse child. And the point being is that often the whole family, because of the substance abuse, is held hostage in playing these roles and being people that they really don't want to be. And so that's another form of where people feel oppressed, and they feel like there's an injustice. So we can have all kinds of examples of where we might feel like at some point we felt oppressed and there was injustice, you know, towards us. Well, in Jesus' day, there was a lot of oppression going on, and in Jesus' day, there were Jews who oppressed other Jews. For example, you know, Zacchaeus. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector. He was a Jew, but he was a tax collector, and many tax collectors took advantage of their own people in robbing them. And that's the amazing part of the story, because Zacchaeus is in the tree and he sees Jesus, and Jesus notices him and he says, "I need to come to your house." And Zacchaeus was saved. And part of his evidence that he was set free was the fact that he was willing to pay back any persons that he had cheated. So he was a changed man. So the point is that in Jesus' day, the Romans, of course, oppressed the Jews, and they were the ruling all over the world. Really, they were the world power at the time, and they held that power and held people hostage all the time. So that's the backdrop of Jesus coming, and if we start with at the beginning of chapter 4, which I read from, it begins by Jesus, after he was baptized and the Spirit of the Lord came on his head and said, you know, there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, believe in him." And so Jesus then is driven in the power of the Spirit, as Luke says, into the wilderness, and he's tempted by the devil. And the devil tempts him with power. And the devil says, you know, "If you're the Son of God, turn stones into bread," because Jesus was hungry. He'd been 40 days and 40 nights. He'd been out there. And so Jesus resists the tempter, the devil, and then it says that the Spirit was with him and empowered him then to start his ministry. And Jesus goes to the different towns and villages in Galilee and preaches, and it, you know, during Sabbath. And he comes to Nazareth. And here's the text from chapter 4 that I read, that when he came to Nazareth, he was asked to read from the scroll. The rabbi usually is asked to read from the Old Testament. And he reads from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim the release of the captives, those who were oppressed, to recover the sight of the blind, to declare that this is the year, this is the Jubilee." And so he's talking to people who are oppressed. And he says, "I'm here, and the scripture that I just read is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, we know that the rest of the story is Jesus goes to Jerusalem, he dies on the cross, and we know that that's the fulfillment of that prophecy. But at the time, Jesus proclaims that he is the one who has a ministry of setting people free. Well, in the book of Acts, Paul and others continued that ministry in the power of the Spirit. And in Acts chapter 16, there's a story about Paul and Silas being you know, thrown into prison. It was an injustice, and they were oppressed. And it says that they weren't just thrown into prison, they were in solitary confinement, and they had been severely whipped. So there they are. They must have had bruises and scars on them. They could have been angry, whatever. At midnight, do you know what was happening? Paul and Silas were singing hymns. Can you imagine that? So in the time that they were oppressed, they were still free to worship the Lord. And guess what happens? An earthquake happens. And they're all shook up, and all the cell doors are flung open. And the jailer, the head jailer, wakes up. He was sleeping. And he sees that all the cell doors are open, and he's ready to kill himself because he thinks everybody's escaped. And Paul and Silas say, wait, wait, don't do it because we're here. They didn't try to escape. The jailer falls down on his knees. And Paul prays for him. He goes to the house of the jailer, and all the people of the house come to know the freedom that only Jesus can give. So what's the point here? Well, let's go back to those two questions that I mentioned at the beginning. When we join the church, or when we are confirmed, or when we, on behalf of others, do those questions of faith. Remember those questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom? You see, when we do that, we experience God's grace. God's grace sets us free. It's not about law. Jesus has fulfilled the law. Jesus is the one who shares that grace. And then the second question is, do you accept the freedom God gives you to resist evil, injustice, or oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? So like Paul and Silas, even if we're feeling oppressed, even though we feel against it, we have that sense of knowing that Jesus gave us that sense of grace, that saving grace, and that we can be free even in the midst. So Jesus' ministry then becomes our ministry as we try to live that out. So this evening, remember, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He has set us free, so let us go forth and set others free in Jesus' name. Amen.